CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Come celebrate Independence Day with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th. The celebration starts at 10 a.m.
Hail, hallelujah, I hear the voice of the Lord. Joy's gonna come in the morning.
The Redemption Trio will be in concert. There will be a special pulpit message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, then a barbecue lunch following the services. Celebrate America's independence at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th, starting at 10 a.m. with the Redemption Trio.
There's a promise coming down that does it wrong.
First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. First Conservative Baptist Church, expository preaching, changeless message for a changing world.
There's a promise coming down that does it wrong.
Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." I've said for years that I believe we're in a state of mourning, and I believe we're witnessing that unfurling each and every day with the leadership, if you want to call it leadership, out of the Oval Office. The Oval Office being stolen in 2020 by Joe Biden and his entourage. And I believe we're witnessing today the attempt to steal the 2024 election by setting up some straw men that should cause us to be frightened and afraid, so that when they drop the hammer and say that you can't go to the voting booth because of the danger of the bird flu, et cetera, I believe we need to be aware. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, says the former CDC director predicts bird flu virus and it will cause the next plandemic. Of course, the article says pandemic. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Ike Hill today. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the Florida House, and we're thankful that he's taken time out to join us with this dialogue and discussion. And Congressman Hill, let me read just a word or two from this headline. Former CDC director predicts bird flu virus will cause next pandemic. Dr. Robert Redfield, former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has issued a grim prediction that the next major pandemic will be caused by the bird flu. Quote, "I really do think it's very likely that we will at some time in the near future. It's not a question about anything happening like this, but it's just a matter of when," Dr. Redfield told the in the interview published June the 14th. The former CDC director said that the bird flu, when it enters humans, has a significant mortality rate, probably somewhere between 25 and 50% mortality. So it's going to be quite complicated, Dr. Redfield said. One other statement. Dr. Redfield said that the bird flu has spread to more than 24 mammals in the United States. The virus has been adapting and learning how to change its use of receptors, with the risk of making a jump to humans growing day by day. So my question is, Congressman Hill, isn't that the same mantra that we heard about COVID, that it jumped from animals to human beings in some fashion in the wet market in Wuhan, China?
Yes, that is exactly what they were saying. And if there was anything that was in that statement from that that person who said it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, but when, that's the only element of truth in what he said. Because they are going to declare it just before this next election so that they will be able to have the excuse of using ballots again instead of in-person voting. That you must mail in all your ballots, which we know it is fraught with fraud, and we saw it before, and that's what they're going to try and do again, because the Democrats cannot win elections without cheating. They know that, and so they are setting the stage to want to cheat again. What we must do as Americans, as patriots, is not go along with it this time. And I think we're going to have enough people pushing back, even in the blue states, who will not say, okay, I won't vote, that I instead I'm going to use these absentee ballots instead. And the reason why I think there would be people who will not go along with it this time is the evidence that we saw of President Trump campaigning in these blue states, in these blue cities, in these blue districts, and seeing thousands, tens of thousands turn out in support. Even in the Bronx, New York, that was amazing. In New Jersey, we're seeing his rallies where tens of thousands, they are turning people away from his rallies, or they're setting up big screens outside of it. Whereas Joe Biden can't even fill a high school cafeteria. And they're trying to say that polls show that the election is close. I don't think so. No, they're trying to set the stage to cheat again, and we cannot let them.
Absolutely. That's a pretty heavy statement that I'm in full agreement with. And Congressman Hill, one other thought comes to mind as you're speaking. I've watched some of the recent news out of the Biden administration, and some of the news is that under Donald Trump, we had major reduction in income as a nation. We had major work outages, that is, major number of people that were without jobs, and that the good economy that Trump had when he was in office was because of what was left over from Barack Obama that Trump inherited, and that this present administration has given us major decrease in inflation. It's given us major new jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How fundamentally wrong is that?
Well, it's a flat-out lie, Dr. Youngblood, and the Democrats do this all the time. They project their fallacies, they project their weaknesses on someone else. Now, President Trump inherited a disastrous economy from Barack Obama because of his high capital gains taxes and personal income taxes. President Trump reduced the capital gains tax. At that time, it was at 35%. And was like the second highest in the world, and reduced it down to 21%. I thought he should have went even lower, and I think he should. He should go down to 10% if you're going to have a capital gains tax at all. And now here, Trump, I'm hearing, is saying, and because of that, the economy boomed, Dr. Youngblood. Inflation
yes.
was down. Unemployment was down. Income was up. We were seeing gas at close to a dollar a gallon in many places. And then Biden comes in and on the very first day reverses all of the economic, the ones that he could, economic policies of President Trump, including closing the Keystone Pipeline. And we saw the disaster from that right away, where there were Many people became unemployed. Thousands. Cost of gas going up. We see our debt soaring to $34 trillion under this Biden administration, which means that we have to pay for that. We pay for all those dollars being thrown into our economy. Too many dollars chasing too few goods is what causes inflation. And even though they're trying to tell us inflation right now is between 4% or 5%, and then even when they try to be halfway honest, they'll say 9%. I read an article recently, Dr. Youngblood, to say that the actual inflation is somewhere around 19%. And that's a number I believe.
Correct. I believe you're exactly right. In fact, I read an article that said it's between 19 and 22%, and I believe that, personally believe that's low. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
A belated Happy Father's Day to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I would like to ask you a question because I may be confused on this, but the World Health Organization, they allow you to put out signs and stuff. Why am I still seeing Obama health care, like, on the corners?
Congressman Hill, I think what she's saying, and I've seen that myself, says sign up for Obamacare, sign up for Obamacare, et cetera. How do you respond to that? What's the answer to the question?
Well, it is true. They need people to sign up for Obamacare so that that socialist program will work. The only way it will work is if a large number of people sign up for it and participate in it. Now, when President Trump was in action, they were able to get a law passed that repealed what the Obama administration said that you would be fined if you did not sign up for Obamacare. So once that was repealed and people were did not have a threat of being fined, when you filed your taxes, you had to indicate on there that you were signed up for a health insurance program. Well, that was repealed when President Trump came in power, thank goodness. And so because of that, the effects of Obamacare are falling apart. It is no longer low-cost health insurance. It becomes more and more expensive by the day because people are not signing up for it. And so they need people to sign up for it in order to for it to work. That's how communism works. You have to get everyone to participate in order for everyone to suffer.
Absolutely. Everyone to suffer is the key statement. Thank you so much, Terry, for your call, for your comments. Thank you for tuning in each and every day. God bless you. Keep looking up. Congressman Hill, I've got a headline that I'm looking at. And it's almost laughable. CNN announces new rules for the Trump-Biden 2024 presidential debate. It's dated the 15th of June. CNN has announced new details of its finalized rules for the first presidential debate of 2024. The network revealed on June the 15th that the debate will last 90 minutes. It will include two commercial breaks during which candidates will not be able to interact with their respective campaign staff. Here's the thing I'm getting to. No pre-written notes or prompts will be allowed, but the candidates will have pen and paper so that they can take notes during the debate. The candidates will appear at a uniform podium with a coin flip to determine which one goes first. There will be no studio audience for the debate, which will be held in Atlanta June the 27th. The debate will be moderated by CNN's Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, who the network said, quote, will use all tools at their disposal to enforce timing and ensure civilized discussion, end quote. Now, what are your thoughts? Will there be a debate, number one? Number two, CNN's already said there will not be a live audience. Thirdly, my question is, and probably the most prominent part of my question, will Joe Biden really face off with Donald Trump in person in a live debate where Biden has got to answer questions? What are your thoughts?
This is what I think is going to happen, Dr. Youngblood. Donald Trump threw down the gauntlet when he said, I will debate Joe Biden anytime, anywhere, any place. I will debate Joe Biden. And so they come back with these very constraining conditions where he has to participate. And if President Trump says, well, no, I'm not doing that. It says, see, he's afraid to debate Biden because he knows he's going to lose. Or like Trump, when he said, okay, I'll debate Biden, but he's going to have to take a drug test before the start of the debate. Well, the Biden campaigns will say, oh, we're not going to abide by that. You said you would debate him anyway, anytime, any place. And so now you're putting these crazy conditions on him that he must take this drug test. No, we're not. Trump is afraid to debate Biden. So I don't think the debate is going to take place, Dr. Youngblood. I don't think it's necessary at all. Everyone has their position on who they want to vote for already made up. Mm-hmm. And going through this debate, the charade of a debate is not going to change anything because the Biden does not have the mental acuity to be able to go through a 90-minute debate. It's just not in him. And everyone knows that.
Absolutely. One of the things, Congressman Hill, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. We're delighted that he's joined us today. If you'd like to join in the dialogue and discussion, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Congressman Hill, and other documents that I've read in relationship to the proposed debate to be held on the 27th of June, they're talking about CNN having the authority to shut the mics off. For example, if they can think that Donald Trump is going too far, saying too much, they can shut his mic off. Conversely, if Joe Biden is stumbling, mumbling, and doesn't know what he's saying, they can shut his mic off so it will not reveal what he's doing. And the other potential that I've read is that rather than Joe Biden being there in person, he will be by way of Zoom or Skype or something so that it's on the screen as though he is there in person to debate with Donald J. Trump. Now, my personal opinion is a debate won't happen because there'll be some excuse that, as you said, that supposedly Donald Trump did not okay their ground rules to be in the debate with him. But I think it is absolutely foolishness if, personally, I think it's foolishness if Trump falls into that trap of saying okay on the debate, if all of these, how would you say, peripherals are put in place, which will make it look as though Trump doesn't know what he's saying. In fact, Joe Biden's wife, just said that it's Donald Trump that needs to have a cognitive test. It's Donald Trump that does not know how to speak. In fact, she made the statement that Donald Trump cannot put a sentence together properly. It is trying to, as you said, transfer to the opposing party that which really is your problem. But let's make a quick transfer of thought because it is very vital, I believe, for us to understand what is happening. Russia today has four Russian warships fully manned in the harbor in Cuba. They have a nuclear-powered submarine that's in the harbor in Cuba. They have all of the associated vessels that's come along with that, and yet we're supposed to believe that through the Biden administration says there is no harm, there's no danger, they're not a threat. How should we view that?
Well, how we should view it is the total ineptness of the Biden administration and this Biden Department of Defense. Lloyd Austin should be fired immediately. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's in way over his head. He was a part of the Obama administration. Just like this Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, doesn't know what he's doing, way in over his head. He was also part of the Obama administration. Dr. Youngblood, we had an international emergency when during the Kennedy administration, John F. Kennedy administration, when Cuba said they were going to put missile, I'm sorry, Russia said they were going to put missiles in Cuba. They hadn't even done it. They said they were going to, and it turned into an international crisis. Now they have moved warships, which are fully capable of hitting U.S. territory, U.S. bases, U.S. soil, with these warships and this nuclear-powered submarine 90 miles off our coast, and nothing is happening because they don't know what to do, how to react. I guarantee you that would not be happening if President Trump was in office right now.
It would be squelched. In fact, it never would have taken place. And if it had taken place, it would be squelched immediately. And on top of that, another headline I read, NATO is preparing for potential ground war with Russia, including plans for U.S. troop involvement. NATO is mapping out land corridors to enable U.S. troops and other allied forces to reach the front lines quicker in the event of a broader European ground war with Russia. The move follows the warning from NATO leaders earlier this year, urging Western governments to prepare themselves for a, quote, full-blown war with Russia sometimes in the near future, end quote. Congressman Hill, I believe that, in fact, as Donald Trump himself has said, had he been president, we'd have never had the war in Ukraine. I believe, as I have said for quite some time now, that the war in Ukraine was the match being lit to start World War III. And what we see today with the further engagement in Israel, it's not just an Israeli war now with Hamas. It is spreading into a total, full-fledged Middle Eastern war. And I've said for quite some time that I believe we're witnessing the several fronts of the war breaking out that will be amalgamated into what the scripture talks about, the war with Russia leading five nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which will ultimately lead into the global conflagration that is called the Battle of Armageddon. So from the standpoint of the Christians, the Christian worldview, I believe that we need to recognize what is happening with the world today that we're living in, and what is taking place with that. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, Franklin Graham says Christians are under assault in America. There are those that believe that when Christians talk about war with Russia, Christians talk about the war in the Middle East, Christians are talking about the global conflagration that's coming, the naysayers look at, laugh at, make fun of, and ridicule the Christians' voice in what we're saying. But give me your input, your thoughts, as we look at what's happening statewide, nationwide, and internationally. If we look at it from a central biblicist worldview, what is it that you see that we need to understand that the Christians need to focus on and not all of these peripheral things?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, you know this nation was formed because Christians were being persecuted in Europe. They are being persecuted by the kings and queens at that time. And so they left Europe to come to America so that they could worship God freely in spirit and in truth. This was founded as a Christian nation. And now we find that despite those foundations, that I agree with Franklin Graham that Christianity is again under attack, not only in just America, but around the world. And we're seeing it being led by Muslim nations in Africa, in the Middle East, in the Far East, Indonesia, Malaysia, and then also by the Hindus in India. Of course, the communists are always under attack or attacking Christians in particular. But all religions, they will attack because they want to be in control instead of having a higher authority, such as God, in control. And so what we are seeing now is, as you say, the stage being set for what we see in Revelation, this massive attack going against the nation Israel, which, of course, will set up the whole stage for Armageddon and the coming return of our Lord Jesus. It's an exciting time to be alive, Dr. Youngblood. It's also a very troubling time.
Yes.
Because it looks like our redemption is drawing nigh. It is going to be a horrible day. It will not be a day of rejoicing. It's going to be a horrible day when Jesus comes back, that second coming, because he is going to be administering justice, and it is going to be a time of revenge and retribution.
Absolutely, and it should cause every Christian to sit up, wake up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. And you touched on that about Islamization. I'm looking at a headline, Mosque and the Islamization of America. Disguised as religion, Islam has penetrated democracies intended to replace civilization and liberty with the barbarian 7th century Islamic theocracy and Sharia law. Islam's multi-pronged attack aims at destroying our liberties in America. Further, it states, America, with a long tradition of protecting religious freedom, still clings to the hands-off practice of leaving alone any doctrine or practice billed as religion. Then it goes on to talk about the mosque serves as the house of prayer, the house of war, etc., etc., etc. Now, with that being said, a tentacle to that, in the state of Michigan, recently I read an article where the officials in the state of Michigan are saying that they're going to pass legislation that will make churches have to get state approval to have Christian services, Christian churches. Isn't that what we would call the Islamization of America? And how should we view that as Christians?
It absolutely is, Dr. Youngblood. You wrote an excellent book about the cult, the satanic religion of Islam. And we can see that what's happening around the world, what they are trying to do is subjugate everyone to their false theology. And they will do it by force. They will do it without your consent, or they'll kill you. And the thing is, you know it has to be demonic, because no one person would be able to think up this multi-pronged attack, which is happening everywhere, and it's been going on for centuries, ever since the false prophet Muhammad came along back in 600-something A.D. It's all been false. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And in America, churches will be allowed to function as Christian churches and not according to the dictates of either the state or of some Muslim nation.
Yes, Congressman Hill, our time is out for the day, but thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 91 FM, the truth.